The scripture passages today are the ones designated from the lectionary, the gospel message that Anna read so well, talks about Jesus calling disciples. I'm using the lapel mic along with this because sometimes I lower my voice and or turn away, and I'm told that this helps. And I was so caught up in listening to you, I forgot to hold myself up, so I'm doing it now. I'm going to read the epistle, from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. How's that? Is that better, worse, same? Okay. And the first chapter, the first nine verses, and there are two words, two concepts rather, that are repeated throughout these nine verses. Listen for them or look for them as we read. The first one is the name Jesus. How many times in just nine verses the Apostle Paul mentions Jesus? And the other one is the idea of call, C-A-L-L, call or calling. With that in mind, listen to God's word from 1 Corinthians 1, the first nine verses. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I'm hearing some reverbing in the sound. Is it just me? Should I not use this then?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Is that better?
Yes.
Is that better?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
No, you can't. Do you know your calling? If you're working or retired from work, probably one or the other, was your work or is your work your calling? You know, sometimes the job we have doesn't always suit us. You know, sometimes you have a job and you just have to do it because that's the way life is and that's your job. But then there's sometimes when the job you do in life fits you, you know, suits you. And in that sense, it can be a calling. You know, that this is really something that your work, your vocation, which has the word vocal, which means calling from it. There's the root of vocation is that a calling that one is given. Sometimes it just fits. Now, just for fun, I pulled out of my files an inventory test, I guess you'd call it, an inventory on vocations that I took 40 years ago. Look at that, color charted and everything. It's called the Strong Campbell Interest Inventory of the Strong Vocational Interest Profile. And what it does is you answer a whole batch of questions. And then it matches your answers up with the way people in various professions answered those questions. Got it?
Yeah.
So it's like, are you thinking about certain things along the same lines that people in certain professions do? One of them is here, I won't give you all that. Let me tell you my lowest scores. And this might not be a surprise to some of you. My very lowest, it's over here, it's about as far as you can go on this chart, is domestic arts. Home economics teacher had zero on the scoring. Now, here's one that, I don't know, agriculture was my second lowest. I'm just not cut out to be a farmer, I guess. It's good that I didn't. And then the third lowest was nature, you know, being out involved in nature, although that may have changed some over the years. Now, highest, okay, for me. What do I want to do with this? Okay, I'll give you three. Two were in the high category, and one was off the charts pretty much in the very high category. The high category was religious activities. But much to my dismay, being a priest scored 10 points higher than being a minister. This is 40 years ago. Maybe I'm in the wrong denomination, I don't know. The other high one was art. You know, being like an artist. In fact, that this is that whole area, and this is where I'm strongest. And the absolute very highest off the charts is music and dramatics. Preaching. Well, you know, I did that because I was at a key place in life. Nobody made me do it. I didn't have to do it, although sometimes when you're in the process of going through the care. Did you have to do that for your care process? I'd like to hear yours sometime. That would be great. Sometimes you do this, you know, when you're under care to en route to being ordained as a minister. They make you do it. But I did this on my own because I was thinking about going to seminary full time, and I really wondered, you know, is this something that's suitable at the time? You know, married, two kids, mortgage, you know, the whole thing. So was this really right for me? And fortunately for me, I believe, I found my calling. I can't imagine being a home economics teacher. I can't even cook. I don't cook very much at all. But yet, this thing about this artistic bent to me being in all of these things, you know, being a musician for so many years of my life, that being my life, and then, you know, religious activities, but drama, preaching's kind of like that, you know, the dramatic kind of performance sometimes. Well, the question, you know, how would you stack up to something like that? Does your work or your place in life, the way you've earned a living or what you did with most of your time in life, would you say that was something that suits you or suited you and is your calling? You know, many people, especially many people going into the ministry these days, are called second career. Hannah's dad was a second career one, right? He was into journalism and stuff like that, reevaluated his life later on and then went into the ministry. Aldo was a veterinarian, right, in Italy. That's why it's Dr. Maselli. And he reevaluated and felt called to be a minister. Well, it used to be, before the Reformation and Martin Luther, for whom Martin Luther King is named, it used to be that only people like Hannah and me and some others would be viewed as having a quote-unquote calling. They would be the quote-unquote religious. That's what they were called. That's what they were termed. The religious were the people who God called to serve God out of the world, took them out of everyday life, and to serve God as priests, as monks, as nuns, and sometimes very radically, like Martin Luther himself, living outside of the world. A calling is to be called out of the world. But what Luther, in studying the scripture, and out of the implications of one of his other teachings, that we're all priests, called it the priesthood of all believers. You don't need me or Hannah to get to go to God. You have a direct line to God. In fact, in that sense, we are all priests. Okay, in that sense and others. So if we're all priests, then our calling is not to be called out of the world, but our calling is how are we going to serve God in the world? How does God call us to serve God in the world? Radically different understanding. But yet, that is the ethos, and that is really the history of our call it Protestant, but it's kind of a general now understanding of what calling, vocation, and work is. But you can have a job, and you can have worked all your life at a job and made a lot of money at your job and supported your family at your job without it being a calling. Because it's a calling only when we view what we do as serving God. Now, that doesn't mean that your job in some way has to be so overtly religious, you know, that you have to lead prayer meetings at the office or something like that. It may very well be something like that. But that what you do with the intentionality that when you're in the office or in school or at home or whatever it is that you're doing, that you're not leaving God somewhere behind, but rather you're serving God in the world and in and of what you do. And in that sense, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what your quote and quote job is. I just caught Martha's eye, and I'm tempted to say, even a lawyer can be called. Yeah, it's a calling, huh? And do you feel like that suits you and fits you? Okay, I'm glad you said that, but it doesn't matter. You may or may not feel that way. If you don't feel that way, well then, maybe, I know, you know, you got to make a living, but maybe it's worth thinking about, is what I'm doing really my calling? Does God maybe have something else for me that suits the person God created me to be? In fact, in the same chapter that I read in 1 Corinthians, at verse 26, he actually says these words, consider your own call. He says those words. And I think that's something that all of us from time to time, I certainly have done it throughout my career, considered, is this what God is calling me to do? Does it still fit? Is it still fulfilling? If it does fit, if it is fulfilling, and if you can express joy to God and thankfulness to God for the job that you do, those are pretty good indications that that is a calling, that you're called to serve God in the role in life you have. And kids, your job is being a student right now, many. No matter what age you are, all the way through up. And for now, that can be your calling. It may just be getting up every day and going to school, or it may be in communion and communication with God. God, what are you preparing me for the rest of my life? What is this algebra class or this history class and all this other stuff, the extracurricular stuff that I'm doing? How, God, is it fitting? And what are you saying to me? Where is my passion? How, not do I just want to make a living, but how do I want to serve you, God, in the world? That's the general sense of the word vocation and calling. And of course, we use the word calling to certain offices within the church. For example, Paul starts out the epistle. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle. There are three offices now in the Presbyterian Church. One is elders, and within that there's a distinction. There are what's called teaching elders and ruling elders. That's going to change, by the way. That's an old designation that that became part of the Book of Order, but it's going to change. There's a big movement to go back to calling ministers a word in sacrament, and ruling elders, that means the session, calling them elders. So the best way to think of it is you have ministers, you have elders. We're both elders, but we have different roles. Then there are deacons. Now, all of those offices are called through the voice of the people. You, as the church, you might remember this for Hannah, and you certainly remember it for when we just elected elders and deacons, and we're going to do some more of that at the annual meeting, that we're going to call those people by our vote and our voice. We're going to say yes to their election. And then that call, and you do what we did it for Hannah. Remember, we had a congregational meeting. She came and preached, and we all fell in love with her, and we voted and said yes. Mine wasn't unanimous like hers was. I don't know. Wasn't that bad, but it wasn't unanimous. Just kidding. I doubt it would be unanimous today, but that's another matter. And then it's confirmed. The session confirms the call of the elders and deacons. They say, well, yeah, we agree. We think that this really is the leading of God. And for ministers, it's the presbytery. You have to have two groups, and then you're called. But just like Luther spread out the concept of call, those are the kind of formal calls to those offices. But all of us are called to serve God in the church. Paul actually even says that. The verse 9, God is faithful, and by him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. You're called into the church. You're called to be saints, and you call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's your calling in the church? Are you listening? Because Jesus Christ, who issues the call, might just be waiting for your response to that call. It might be a formal office, sure. It might be being a Sunday school teacher. It might be being an usher. It might be providing hospitality through coffee hours and serving with the Congregational Life Committee, and all of those are callings as well. What is God calling you to? Do you know your calling or your callings? Lastly, any one of these topics could be a whole sermon. There's a wonderful verse that many of us love, and certainly Claire Maselli loved it. It's even on the license plate of their car. Romans 8:28. It says something like this. God works all things together for good. For those whom God loves. You know, I got to read it because there's so many different translations rolling around in my head, and I got caught up on one. Here it is, Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Later in 1 Corinthians, in the 7th chapter, Paul talks about the condition of people's lives, and no, he does it still in the first chapter, verse 26, that one. He says, consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. And when he goes on in chapter 7, he says, well, what condition were you in when you were called? Stay in that condition. By this, he means this. Didn't mean to get us off track. The called are the people. We are called to work in our profession. Let me do it this way. We are called to serve God, not only in the world, but in the church. And we are called to faith. You did not come to faith in Jesus Christ unless you were called. Calling can be a lifelong process for some. For me, as I look at my own life, I reflect that in my baptism, in my being raised in the Roman Catholic Church and going to a parochial school, God was calling me, beginning to call me to faith. When I was in high school, it was through a guy named Sam Ware. Related to Martin Luther King's, one night I had a sleepover at the house after some school event, whole bunch of us guys sleeping in the living room. You know, Mom got up and made us all pancakes in the morning, but my father was furious when he came downstairs because Sam Ware was black. He didn't hesitate to use the N-word, and that's the environment in which I grew up. Sam Ware was a year ahead of me in high school, and Sam, for a year, tried to get me to go to Young Life, to this youth meeting that met outside. Over and over, Sam invited me. He was in the band. I was in the band. He was a year older than me. He was one of the state's best wrestlers in Pennsylvania at the time. It was him and his sisters who taught me how to dance one night before I was going to go with them to an all-black party. That was a skit. But one time in my junior year, halfway through, I said yes to Sam. And I went to a Young Life meeting, and that night we were at our dinners for eight last night. We were talking about some of our experiences. What they did was, I think Sam put them up to it. They got me up in this room full of kids. They put a funnel in my pants and a penny on my nose, and the goal was to take the penny from my nose and get it in the funnel. Well, of course, while I'm looking up here, someone takes a glass of water and pours it down your pants. That's February. That was part of God's call in my life. Wet pants. Because I never stopped going. And it was through Young Life that I came to understand that what God wanted from me was not just my being religious, but he wanted me to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I cannot tell you the exact day that awareness came to me. Some people can. They can say I was at a Billy Graham crusade or whatever, and I heard God calling, and I went forward. For me, I can tell you this. When I began my junior year, I did not have faith in Jesus Christ. When I ended my junior year, I did, in that process. But calling is not just that one event. It's the way God calls us and leads us all through our lives. Our baptism, Sunday school, youth group, vacation Bible school, mission trips, singing in the choir. Listen, believe it or not, even listening to sermons. God uses all of that in calling. God is calling you. And if you have not opened your heart to receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior and as your Lord, you should be listening. Because God is calling you to do that. Maybe he's calling you today. Maybe today is just one step in that process by which God is calling you to faith. But I guarantee it, brothers and sisters, God is calling you today, as he has every day of your life. He's calling you to faith in Jesus Christ. He's calling you to serve Him in the world with your life, with your gifts, with your work, with your study, with your singing, with your knitting, with your taking care of your children at home, with your being a husband, with your being a wife, with your being a daughter or a son or a grandson or granddaughter. God is calling you in all of those roles to serve Him. And God has called you and is calling you into this fellowship. Why it's so important that we gather together for worship, because God doesn't call people to be Lone Ranger Christians. God calls us, as it said right there in black and white, into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Today and this weekend, we're remembering the call of God in one person's life who responded, Dr. Martin Luther King, and he changed our nation through that, by that calling. He changed the world in respects. Still a lot of room for work. So I leave you with this. Do you know your callings? And if you don't, isn't it time that you do what the Apostle Paul says, and look it up in 1:26 of 1 Corinthians. Consider your call. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.